everybody, to another episode of Bench Talk. This is Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant of Jackie Mitchell Career Consulting. I am so excited today to have with me Kiana Wingfield. Kiana is the founder of Cool Moms Dance 2. Welcome, Kiana.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I'm really excited to talk to you. So I am... Just a little while ago, me and Kiana were just talking, and I'm trying to remember where I saw you first, if it was on LinkedIn or if it was on Instagram. You have an awesome Instagram page, by the way.
Thank you.
We will be giving out that your social media handles a little bit later, but you have a really interesting story, and I thought that it would be so beneficial for my listeners to have you on to talk about your journey and where you are today and where you see yourself going in the future. So I think your story is very inspiring, and I'd love to jump in and get started.
Awesome. I'm all here. I'm yours.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started in your career? Kind of want to start from the beginning and how you started Cool Moms Dance 2 and tell everybody about that. So give us a little bit of how you got started in your career, where you got started.
So honestly, I started my family really early. I was about 18 when we had our first daughter, and immediately after having her, Ayira, my family kind of helped me get into the finance world. And it started with a family who had a tax franchise. And I went to work with them because I hadn't started college yet, and I was working on some courses. And I ended up working with this family who owned their own tax franchise and instant tax service here in Atlanta, Georgia. And they realized that I had a really good eye. So they taught me how to audit files, how to go behind the tax preparers and make sure that everything was proficient, just in case an IRS auditor was to come by, that everything was proficient. So I started my interest in accounting there. It wasn't really something that I wanted to do. I guess it was just, my mother actually thought that it would be something good for me to work on based on my personality. Awesome. For me, I actually went to school and studied psychology. That's always been my passion. It's always been my passion to help people and to understand the mind. But for some reason, professionally, I have worked in accounting, finance, and in business mm-hmm. all of my adult life, because that was where my talent was versus what I was more comfortable with personally, that I wanted to do with my life overall. So I kind of had an unorthodox growth in that space. I went from learning about tax and auditing and then studying accounting and becoming an auditor for a few other companies locally as well. And then I started working in bookkeeping for bookkeeping and accounting company. And
so let me ask you really quickly, this was all before you started college?
This was, it wasn't before I started mm-hmm. college. Well, I was going to college to study psychology. I wasn't studying accounting. It was almost like my jobs prior to and during college were in that space. And I was gaining all of my skills and growing in that space in an unorthodox way. When I was working in the bookkeeping and accounting firm, I was learning all the skills that an accountant would have by working in that space, entry level, but I just kept growing there because that's where my paycheck was coming from. But my passion was psychology, so I was studying psychology in school, which is interesting because even still to this day, I still have a lot of work in a lot of my majority of my experiences in finance and accounting based mm-hmm. on the work that I've done and the company right. that I've worked for.
Awesome. But so you went to school for psychology, and as yeah. you're going to school, your day job, what pays the bills, is accounting. I have a similar background. I was going to school for computer science, but I was working in accounting. I was an AR clerk, accounts receivable, billing, collections, all of that. So it's really interesting that you say that, because we're similar in that regard, young family as well. So very similar in that regard. So take us through moving from accounting, getting your degree. How did you navigate from there? What'd you do after that?
So ironically, I never left the finance space because it just made more sense financially for my family. And then I had what kind of got me into Cool Moms Dance Too, which is the organization that I founded with my daughters and own now. It came from me operating out of need more so than what I wanted. So of course I wanted to, get into the psychological space, help in therapy. It just didn't work out for me that way. After I lost my partner, I lost him in 2013 to suicide. Everything just fell on me. It was my responsibility to really make sure that I could maintain our family after that. Staying in accounting made a lot more sense than trying to pivot into my passion, just being honest. So I never left that space because financially it made more sense for me to stay there, and it were more flexibility for me because I had all of these relationships. So I continued to do that work, but something kept tugging at my heartstrings, like, you need to find a way to get into this, and in helping your community and helping people and using this practice to help your community grow. Right. And I couldn't really think of how I could do that because I knew financially it didn't make sense, because there's it's a battle when you move from a space, something that's a lot easier to manage with experience in accounting versus, the therapeutic space. It's different financially. It's different in different spaces when you don't have that experience. I didn't have any experience there, so I'll be starting from the ground up.
Right.
I had my daughter's, fully immersed in dance practices 5 days a week, just so that I could feel decent as a parent while I was hustling, bustling to take care of us. And we started dancing together at home. And after we started dancing together, my eldest daughter would talk to me about what was going on with her day. And I started to feel a way. And it wasn't really a good way initially. Mm-hmm. What it has manifested into is something beautiful. But I realized there was a problem. Like, she hadn't talked to me in that way prior to us doing that activity, and why?
Right.
And we were disconnected. We did not have that personal connection. We had nothing in common. I was a mother. She was my child. We loved each other. We interacted with one another, but there wasn't an intimacy to our relationship that was necessary for her to expose vulnerabilities that she would with her friends, because I wasn't building that with her in a way that was meaningful to her, not me. So when I realized that, I was like, well, I have a lot of friends who kind of complain about this, or we'll talk about taking care of our kids and taking care of our husbands and families. And, where we want a glass of wine at the end of the night, we're not really thinking about the ecosystem and how the children's stressors could be affecting them. And they don't have as many outlets as an adult can when they have the freedom to do what they like. So I just felt like it was something that could empower us to see connection from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started working on it. The name Cool Moms Dance 2 came to me instantly. At that time, at that particular time, I was working with the accounting and bookkeeping company. And I just gradually started working on locally with friends and people that I knew, starting classes, see if people would be interested in doing a dance class with us. And it just started to grow from there. And my journey has been an interesting one, because everything in my space it came from me operating on faith and trusting more of God rather than logic. And I know a lot of people don't necessarily like that method, However, it has worked for me exponentially to trust my instincts, to be in flow, and really trust the fact that anything that I desire, anything that I seek out in the world that I can have, I was asking the universe to position me in a space where I could use my gifts and what my passion was to help people. And I'm doing just that in a way that has empowered me to find a love that I had when I was a kid. So it kind of was something that it was unorthodox, and I didn't really realize what I was walking into, but it has empowered me and many other families that we've worked with over the past few years. So yeah, I had transitioned from, you know, an idea and formed it into a company that I co-founded with my two daughters, and we've been going nonstop. And the journey, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the journey has been an interesting one. It has been very unorthodox. I'll say that it's not a straight line, and it's not something that, you know, you get in your first year, everything is working out, you're highly profitable, you get to pivot from your job. It has not been that process. But what I do know is that I'm doing meaningful work, and that it is growing. It does make sense for our life and for our community.
I want to take a step back, because you said something that really connected and resonated with me, and I'm sure a lot of people. If we could kind of talk a little bit about that little nagging feeling that you had. You know, you're working in accounting, but tell me if I'm making an assumption, it wasn't fulfilling to you personally. It was paying the bills and, you know, sustaining your family, but there was still something nagging at you. So how did you, or did you, like, take a step back and ask, what is this? What should I be doing? What was that process like for you?
Yeah, so I have this interesting relationship with God, where I'll have these moments where I'm having a complete and total breakdown emotionally, and I'll sit and I'll go in deep prayer and meditation, and I will say, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I doing here? Why doesn't this feel good? And I do that with everything. I do it with relationships. I do that with every aspect of life, and I always get an answer that sends me in the right direction. So that is exactly what happened. I started noticing, I started gaining weight. I was very unhappy. My routine was a routine that created an edginess in me, where I didn't feel as pleasant as I used to be. I was growing into a space of conforming to a life that I thought I needed to be in. And I realized that in the space that I'm in, and this is something that I think we all fail to realize, that when we are born, we're born to a clean slate. And the people around us kind of impose their perspective and views of the world and how we should interact. But overall, you get to choose what your life is. You get to choose how you operate your life if you can get a hold of the real truth, which is you have choice and free will. And it wasn't something that I was really executing or operating on, is understanding that I had a choice. I have the choice to restructure my life and make it work for me, or I have the choice to stay in this. And often when we stay in spaces that feel uncomfortable, that you know that this is not your purpose, or this is not a part of something that stimulates you or helps you grow, you feel that, and it's shown in so many aspects.
So many ways. Of life.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? We tend to ignore it, right? For whatever reason. A lot of us women, when I say us, we ignore it. You know, we have, whether it's mom in the background or spouse or you know, whoever, we think that, oh, this is really frivolous. This isn't something that's going to be fruitful, or I can't sustain myself on this thing that I want to do. Let me just stay safe. Let me play it safe and stay where it's comfortable, where those, you know, other people think I should be there. It's so much easier to stay there, right? I just did a little talk on that, and I have something coming up regarding another podcast, actually, regarding just that topic on, you know, what is it costing you to stay stuck, or not necessarily stuck, but stay in a position where your gut and everything inside of you is telling you this is not where you should be, you know? It's costing you something. And a lot of times we don't even look at, you know, those lost opportunity costs, right? Or even our mental health, because, and our, just our physical, our health in and of itself, because right. Your body will always tell you what is right and what is wrong for you. You know, right. It's a very personal thing. And I truly, truly believe that. And you hit the nail right on the head. We have free will. We have a choice. Either we stay in it, whatever the it is, or we go and pursue, right? So continue on. I think you made an awesome point with that.
So you just, I know this podcast is more so about careers and past.
It's life, honey.
Yeah, but I wanted to take another step back and kind
absolutely
of share my truth in a deeper way, because when I say, the trajectory of my life I can't even explain it. The things that I've encountered, experienced from good to bad, based on other people's perception, for me, it's just lessons. But I've always had, and I think we have this instinct that tells us when we're on path, when we're not on path.
Yes.
And even as I go back to when my partner passed away, the system, the situation that happened that coincided with him leaving, or it was something that an enlightenment came to me during that time. I knew it was going to happen. I could feel it. I was told by God to mm-hmm. interact in a particular way out of protection of our family, because I was instructed that, hey, this is going in this direction and I need you to be prepared. And if you trust yourself enough, which is the number one thing, I think the reason why we stick in these spaces is because we have an instinct. We know what we want. It's innate. You knew it when you were a child.
Yeah.
You were taught to unlearn who you are and what's yes. natural to you. And yes. the problem we have often is that the number one issue with most of us and really getting on path and going towards what we really need and want is we don't trust ourselves. We don't trust that we'll show up for ourselves. We don't trust that we'll be capable of managing. We don't trust mm-hmm. that even though we have all these skills that we bring to other people, that if we were to do something that we really, really love to do, that we would be able to be as fruitful in doing that as we are in producing someone else's dream.
Absolutely.
And that probably is one of the most disheartening things, but you got to understand that there's so many different silos of people and their experiences and groups and subsects. And for women in particular, we are very, very young in our freedom of being yes. able to have our own voices and speak for ourselves and identify our wants and needs, because we have always been at everyone else's beck and call. So now we have this freedom, and what do we do with it? And that was my enlightenment. You have this freedom, you have this passion, this love. Are you going to stay in this comfortable space, or are you going to use it to help you get where you need to go? And that's the other thing, is not abandoning one aspect of yourself that you've used or that you've built upon and starting completely over. For me, I was able to, after I left the job to start my organization, I felt a little insecure financially, because I'm like, I'm still developing this. I'm really in the R&D phase of understanding what I can do with this organization and what direction we need to go in. So maybe I should at least have a part-time job. And I had actually two opportunities. One was in film doing accounting, and the other was in radio. And when I walked into the radio space, I walked in thinking I was going to an interview, and they were showing me to my office, and I was like, what are we doing oh, wow. here? What are we doing? I had to get a
welcome
babysitter.
To your first day.
I can't start work today. I had to get
oh,
a babysitter wow.
Oh, so, my goodness.
So for me, that was because literally before I walked in the door, I prayed and said, where you want me to go is uh-huh. where I'll go. So give me a clear sign you want me to be there, because these are both great opportunities. And it so happened that the space that I worked in radio was something that was able to help me on my journey of building what I'm building now. So,
and you didn't realize that at the time though, did you?
I didn't think about it that way. It wasn't really, it wasn't a part of, I was really trying to figure out what was my next step. And figuring out my next step, I had to stop thinking of the big picture, because you're not asking for the big picture. You're asking for your next step. So you're not trying to see the staircase.
Say that again. I need you to say that again for the people in the back, please.
No, I mean, when you think about it, I think the problem is that we have this picture that we have for our lives. Like we want our lives to be a particular way.
Yes.
And we're still focusing on the picture rather than coloring in each space.
Absolutely.
And that really gets you where you're going. Cause when you start coloring, you realize like, oh wow, I'm almost done with this picture. And like, oh, this is cool. And that's what I did. I was narrow focused on the next step. And that's why I kept growing, because I wasn't
going
so focused on the big picture, you know? So, and most people don't get that, but that's really what'll get you where you're going, is when you understand where you're going, but focus on the next steps of getting there that are practical for you.
Absolutely. Because a lot of times you hit the nail on the head again. you know, a lot of times we look at this big mammoth picture. How am I going to get all of this done? You know, how am I going to get there? Whatever that destination is. And sometimes it's look, next step. What's the very next step of the thing that you need to do? You will eventually get there. Right. I had a mentor, CIO of a company, tell me, I was trying to do something. I don't remember what it was. I was working on a project, and it was a huge, I think it was one of the bigger, one of the larger projects early in my career. And I didn't know where to start. I was so intimidated. And so if I use that, this analogy, you can use it for life, because I had no idea where to start. And he saw that, but he also saw my potential, right? And the value that I brought. I remember him calling me into his office one day, and this was the very first time I even heard this expression. I had no idea. I was so young and dumb. He said to me, how do you eat an elephant? And I'm looking at him like, you brought me in here to talk about elephants? What are you talking about? Who eats elephants? I was so stupid. I was so dumb. He was like, how do you eat an elephant? I said, I don't know. I don't eat elephants. I literally said that to him, and he started laughing. We had such a great relationship. He was like, one bite at a time. And then this, I just exhaled in such a way. I was like, okay, I get it. I get it. You know, one thing at a time, one step at a time, and then we'll get there, you know? And so I think in life, we have to do that. You know, you hit the nail right on the head again with that, because looking at that big picture, it could sometimes be overwhelming. We do want to have a goal, right? You want to have an end goal, but you do want to plan out, and sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, or just use your faith in what should the next thing be, you know? And you have to really be open to possibilities that we're full of infinite possibilities if we clear our minds from all the clutter and all that, you know, the talk that we have with ourselves, and the negative talk sometimes that we were already programmed with or from other people, we have to really clear that or work our way through that and be open to any possibility, because you never know where it's going to lead you. Right.
Absolutely.
You know, so you went from the, you know, the radio station, and it took you to continue on. Like, sorry, I interrupted you, but from the radio, you had the job. And so now it took you where? How did you move on from that?
So working in radio had just been a support system for me, because I had steady income coming in, but I didn't commit myself to working there full time, because I knew if I worked there full time that I would be engulfed in that reality. I knew that if I had a little of my work week that was committed to my business, that it would push me to make sure that every single week I was getting things done toward my goal. So instead of looking at where I was going in a perspective like, hey, in a year, if something's not working, then you need to move on. I knew that I wasn't giving 100% to the organization because I still had that stability on the other end that I was using, and I wanted to do it the right way. I think because I'm providing a tool, because the organization is providing a tool to a community that is so important. It's not just, it's not a cookie company that if it fails, I need to give up. This is me providing tools to empower my community so that they know how to deal with stress, know how to, you know, interact with coping mechanisms. So it was worth me taking the time to figure it out. So I decided, like I tell many people, we have this kind of fantasy idea that when you get this idea, when you want to start something, just throw everything else away, jump into it. And that may work for some people, but I think the gradual progression helps you see where you're going and have that comfort that you need, that when you know you're being pulled into your purpose, where you can't handle staying where you are and you know it makes sense, you can pivot. And I think that was really, really valuable, because I think most people fear the pivot because they're like, okay, I'm going to pivot, but there's no clarity that this can work for me or that I'm going to be successful at it. But if you're working at it and you see things that are making sense, you're, you know, generating revenue, generating traction, and you know that you staying in this space that was helping you, leveraging you into your purpose or into the work that's meaningful to you, you can't do it anymore, that's when you pivot. And that was my experience with really staying the course and taking my time on the journey and building the organization and building relationships and doing that in a way where it wasn't rushed, because I wasn't looking at this being an organization that had a 3-year exit. I was looking at it as something that would be here for the long haul as a tool. So that was another thing as well. Like you said, looking at that big picture was so important, but breaking it down into a task list year to year, month to month, day to day was so important for me to understand how I can get to where I was going. Yeah, it has been an amazing journey.
Let me ask you, during this transition into Cool Moms, because I definitely want to jump into that. It's an awesome idea, awesome organization of what you're doing. I wish I was in Atlanta. I wish I had a little girl, a little girl. I have a 17-year-old. Can boys join?
We'll definitely
talk about that. But I wanted to find out, during this transition, you know, with the idea and starting it and all of that, did you have a support system? You know, did you talk to some people and they thought that's crazy? Like, what was your experience there?
Oh, that's interesting. So I kind of had a support system. I had family and friends who, I know my strengths, and one of my strengths is really being able to get people excited about what I'm excited about. So it doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. I can get anyone to feel excited about
that thing
that drives me. So I think what was more important to me was to get people involved and to see if they thought it made sense more than telling them about it, because I knew it was easy for me to say, hey, all of these liner notes about why family engagement is important, why health mentally and physically is important. All of these things are selling points that any human being would be like, that's very important. Mm-hmm. But the way that I'm executing it, does it make sense to you when you're in it? That was more important to me. And I just had a confidence about the solution. That I really didn't care. My support system came from me being relentless and finding advisors, fellowships, accelerator programs, organizations, people who would consider investment. Like, I was so strengthened by my journey and understanding that, one, it brought me so much joy to know that I could take the most hurtful thing that I've ever experienced in my life and empower other people with that experience by saying, hey, if my partner had this engagement when he was a kid, he'd probably still be here. So that drives me every day to like if someone was to say, oh, I don't think that'll make sense, I just say thank you and keep it moving, because I already understand from my perspective that that it's important that once you have confirmation for yourself, you don't need it from a million different people. Once you have confirmation yourself that this makes sense, that you should focus on aligning with people, things, energy, resources that can help you make that make sense. And I know a lot of people are like, hey, you know, a certain amount of businesses statistically in the first 3 to 5 years, they fail. But there's a gentleman literally in China who's selling people air. Like, come on. At the end of the day, if you're passionate enough, you will find your audience.
You will Thank you.
You will figure out how to give your tribe what they need, and be able to get what you need out of the situation as well. And that was my journey. My journey was, I would literally, when I first started Cool Moms, I did not know what steps I should take. I had a background in dance when I was a kid. I danced, and I danced professionally for a very short time as a teenager. And then I became a mom, and all of that went out the door. And I kept a passion in dance, but I really wasn't focusing on it. And when I got back in, I'm like, what do I need to make this organization work? Oh, well, let me understand what it means being a fitness professional. So I studied that and got a certification and being a group fitness instructor. And then I was like, okay, well, it needs to be a business. I don't really understand how to build this type of business. So I was like, well, let me find an accelerator program. I went to Emory University. They had an accelerator program. The first year that I asked about it, they told me I wasn't ready. I got literally looked at their criteria. If you want it bad enough, you'll go get it. Looked at their criteria. I got ready and I got in the next time. Same thing with the Center for Civic Innovation. When I first heard about them, me and my daughter went to their pitch, their pitch for their fellowship, and they pretty much serve civic leaders, people who operate in the space of providing programming for people in the Metro Atlanta area. And I said, this is what I want to do. This is what is important to me. I want to help my people. How does this make sense? And I was able to create a reality within our organization where I was doing work, not making it up, but actually doing work that was aligned with messaging that was more powerful than just a dance class.
Right.
So those things, when you really want it bad enough, or when you trust yourself in your process, you will figure it out. You will find the resources and the tools. And I'm pretty sure that everyone listening probably is like, what does she actually do? What is the company?
Yes, I wanted to jump into that. Cool Moms. I definitely want to jump into that. But you know what? As you're talking, there's so many levels to how you got to where you are. And one of the things that I definitely notice is that you have a confidence about you, right? It's infectious, right? You have a confidence about you that is what helps you get to where you want to be, you know, and helps you go through all of the stuff. And I'm doing air quotes. If you could see me, you know, you would see me doing air quotes, but all of the stuff, because a lot of times you have all this stuff around you, and some people who are not as confident, they let that keep them down or let that hold them back. But you'd have to definitely have a drive and a confidence and a knowing. I like to call it a knowing, right? You have to have a knowing, and that will keep you going no matter what it is you want to do. That will definitely keep you going. So we have to talk again. I would love to have you back, you know, when schedules align, to really go deep into that, because that can go in so many different ways. And
I'd
again,
like to add one thing to what you're saying now, just as something that really resonates with me. My organization, we operate in the space of entertainment and hip hop, as well as in the therapeutic space. And one line that we live by at our organization and in my life in general, is by Jay-Z, and he said, a loss is not a loss, it's a lesson. And if you can literally live by that when it comes to obstacles,
yes,
you will be able to move through anything, because you understand that the deciding factor, everything is based on how you respond,
yes,
and not necessarily just initially, you can be like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But right. How you respond moving forward.
Forward.
Because most people get stuck in saying, oh my God, this is a lot. This is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You can feel that. A person that's emotionally intelligent is not a person that doesn't feel or doesn't react. They're just conscious of that reaction and conscious of when and where they're reacting, more so than not reacting at all. That's not an emotionally intelligent person. That's someone who's emotionally shut off. So
right.
It's important to be human, to trust mm-hmm. the human, but also understand that the most important thing is how you move forward and how you view you moving forward. If you give up on yourself, how do you expect anyone else to believe in you? And if you understand that, then things will be easier. They'll come easier. You'll see a flow that makes a total difference in your life because you trust you. Other people can trust you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it kind of goes along the same lines of, you know, I'm asked quite often about failure and I don't see failure. I see lessons.
Right.
You know, and for me being a project manager, program manager, a lesson learned, right? It's not just, oh, that was a lesson. No, you now have to take that lesson and implement it going forward. That's the only way it's learned, right? You implement what you've learned and there really isn't a failure. It's a mindset shift, change on how you view things and how you view yourself and things around you. So let's talk about Cool Moms Dance 2. I want to dive deep into that. What is your organization all about? Who do you help? We talked about how you started, but give us some insight into Cool Moms Dance 2.
So Cool Moms Dance 2, my baby.
Yes.
Cool Moms Dance 2 is a family dance fitness and expression class. So what we did was we created in an actual format a 45 to 60 minute dance fitness and expression program. So what we incorporate is hip hop, family friendly hip hop dance fitness and activities that are inclusive of dance movement therapy programming. So what we did was work with dance movement therapists over the past 3 years, kind of incubating, talking and working through different aspects of programming and integrated some of the activities into our proprietary program. And what we do is things like a circle of trust. Like we created this part of our program called Dance Expression that mm-hmm. provides each member a therapeutic release, a safe space, and what we call the circle of trust. And in that, we build a circle around each individual who would be in the center. We're given a set of rules of how everyone should conduct themselves to support that person in the middle and what activities we'd be doing. And one activity we do that is most popular is mirroring. So say, for instance, we have someone in the center of the circle, and we've done this in corporate spaces with families, mm-hmm. with youth. Put someone in the center of the circle. We turn on instrumental music that is more lively rather than soft and therapeutic, but more hip hop, upbeat, something that, you know, culturally we kind of mix with to feel good, feel better.
Right.
And that person is instructed to express how they're feeling through movement. It could be your favorite dance. It could be literally how you're feeling. It doesn't have, there's no label to it. It's not good. It's not bad. We want you to show us how you're feeling. And in turn, we are to copy that movement so we can show you how you're feeling, show you that we support you in the process so that that person feels supported, heard, felt, and that they can express themselves freely in a safe space. And we've been doing that since 2016, and we've grown exponentially with our programming. Originally, our programs were specifically for moms and their kids. Mm-hmm. And then we started to get a lot of tugging from dads. Like, why can't we come to class? This is fun. Where's a cool dad family?
Right, right. Like,
okay, we get you. So we've made it more of a family inclusive class. And as we've grown, we realized that there was a space for youth to have programming as well as in corporate wellness where we worked with AT&T with a program and found that people who worked in the same building didn't know anything about each other. And we opened these spaces for them to engage in a way where dialogue started and people mm-hmm. would talk the same way it happened with me and my daughter. We are in this corporate space with accountants mm-hmm. and salespeople, and they don't talk barely at all because they're in this big building, but this gives them a place to find community and something in common where they don't really have much in common otherwise from their perspective. So it's my goal to provide culturally relevant, safe spaces and programming so that families, whether it be in home setting, organizational setting, or corporate setting, that these families feel like they can express themselves, connect, and have a coping mechanism for mental health. How to use dance and movement as a stress reliever when you're feeling anxious. You know what I mean? So it's something that we've been doing and building, and I'm really excited about the direction that we're going in because we're gaining traction and a lot of partnerships. So it's been really enlightening to see how many people really need those spaces, how many people really need, from adults to children, need to have that stress reliever, and something that simple is not something that's readily available to them mentally for them to think, I can turn on some music first thing in the morning, or if I just had a hard meeting, I can close my office door and turn on music for 5 minutes, move around a little bit, and it'll help improve my mood.
Right. Movement is so important.
Exactly. So we want to be an advocate for that. We want to destigmatize mental health by providing dance as a coping mechanism, something that we all love. And really just kind of change the way that we look at connection building in families and organizations.
Absolutely. So your program, is it an age range, or is it for youth? Is it an age range, or is it pretty much open to anyone?
So our typical age range is between about 7 to 16. We normally do programs for youth in that age range. When they're over 16, sometimes they're not as into it if they're working out or doing the programming with the younger kids. And mm-hmm. sometimes under the age of 7, depending on their maturity, they can't stick with the fitness portion because it may be high intensity or a focus issue. So our age range that we serve for the most part has been 7 to about 16 years old, but we allow
boys too.
No, we do. We have boys in our programming. Like awesome. We have our proprietary program, which is the CMD2 dance expression class mm-hmm. that we provide, as well as now individuals can become instructors in our program, similar to becoming a Zumba instructor, and receive continuing education credits for becoming an instructor in our program. Oh, wow. But we also do local community-based programs in Atlanta. We have two this year that we've curated that we're going to do annually. Our first one was a family performance at the Atlanta Hawks. So what we did was we curated a space where we brought together groups of families, and they danced with us, and we put them through training so that they can prepare to perform opening up for the Atlanta Hawks game. And
that's awesome. Yeah,
it was a really amazing thing. Our choreographer is Vera Musgrove. She's actually a former Hawks cheerleader and a Hawks coach, a cheerleading coach, and she was able to help us curate this space and get these families into shape so that they can perform there. And we had dads and sons that were in that program. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
And we actually have Kids Bop that we're performing. We're opening up their show on this Saturday, August 10th. So we do things where we include dads and sons in the programming, and we do kind of community-based things where we can get everyone engaged and feeling like they can be a leader in this space, so to speak. So
that's awesome.
Some interesting and exciting things going on with our organization.
So what's on the horizon for you guys about?
Right now, like I said, we have our Kids Bop performance and the workshop August 10th. We just became the Athletics and Fitness Association of America approved to provide our class as a training platform. So we're going to launch that initiative soon. We're in the fellowship with Sarah Blakely's Spanx Foundation.
Wow.
The Center for Civic Innovation. They invested in Cool Moms Dance too, and we're going to be in a program with them for a year where we kind of develop our programming and kind of accelerate where we are now moving to the next stage. So we'll be doing that for the next year, which is really exciting. That was a really amazing moment for us as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we have a ton of things. The more important thing is for us to start getting training in different cities and try to explore moving into our partnering cities like LA, New York, Miami.
South Florida.
We have some relationships in Ghana and Australia where
awesome
classes there. So we want to focus on providing training so that we can get instructors in these different cities to provide classes.
Did you ever think back when you were, you know, in accounting that you would even be here where you are right now? I know you have, you know, envisioned certain things for yourself, but did you think you would be here?
No, actually, I had no clue. I know for a fact that the people who are around me, my friends and family, they always felt like I would be what they say, I guess you could say, air quote, somebody. It was always a thing, and I'm like,
right.
I am somebody.
Right.
Everyone always had confidence. Like, we know something's going to be amazing with you. We just don't know what,
don't know what it is.
Figure
right.
something out so you can do it, so we can support it. And I'm like, this is a lot of pressure, guys. Like,
right.
Still to this day, knowing that I started my family so young and that, mm-hmm. you know, my eldest daughter is in seventh grade now, and I'm like, I still can't believe I'm a mom. This, like, every day I wake up, I'm like, I'm really someone's mother. This is
tell me about it.
This is amazing. You're trusting me to be someone's mom.
You know what? I'm still there. I started my family young, you know, 21, right? I have a 25-year-old and I don't know how that happened. I'm right. like, wait a minute. I have a grown man. Like, that right. doesn't make sense to me right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? But no, I think you're amazing. I think you're doing awesome, awesome work. So do you have a studio, a physical location, or do you go out to, you know, different locations? How does Cool Moms work as far as that's concerned?
So we're essentially a mobile program. So
okay.
we work with different organizations. We often host classes in the Metro Atlanta area at various studios, but we are focusing on our training as well as working with our organizational programs. So we work with different partners like the Women's Resource Center and Domestic Violence,
right.
AIDS Club, Boys and Girls Club. We partner with them and host classes for their students and for their members. And we've been focusing on that. So if someone wanted to come to a class, they can request to host the class. They can request to come to one of our pop-up events, and you can normally find out about that if you join our email list. We normally send out a blast, or our social media, we're always posting what we're going to be doing and what we have going on social media as well. So that's probably the best way. Cool Moms Dance 2 TOO on Facebook and Instagram, you get the most information there, or on our website you can sign up for our newsletter and get more info on like pop-up classes, because we're going to be doing a lot more of that ending 2019, mm-hmm. just to gear up for the new programming that we're kind of bringing to the table.
This is so awesome. I really enjoyed talking with you and your insight, gaining some insight into you and your journey. It's amazing, you know, and what you're doing is really, really great. Okay, so do you have a nugget or a gem that you want to leave our listeners with?
Absolutely. So I think one thing that from my journey that I've recognized in talking to so many other people who are in similar paths is you have to trust your journey. You have to trust your path. And when I say that, specifically for me, trusting God and trusting the spiritual space has gotten me everywhere I needed to be. Not necessarily the spaces that helped me in general ways, but really getting into my path, really getting into my passion work, and trusting the process to develop myself into the person that I am today and that I'll probably be 10 years from now, all came from me trusting the voice of God, trusting my spirituality, trusting myself. And I say that whatever, when you know that you're on path, whatever voice or whatever guidance that you're taking from that, that's internal to you, stay on that path. Don't pivot. I want to say that specifically because I've had instances when I was operating in business and started trying to look for people in technology and these different spaces to work with to develop my idea, that I would conform in these spaces to their mind frame of how things should work. If you have these many users or if these people are into what you're doing, then it makes sense and it's validated. And I say you get your validation from the path and the journey that you've been on that got you where you are. Don't pivot because you think trusting someone else's voice and path is going to get you to your next step, because their next step is not your next step. And everyone's journey is different. So I think it's so important to remember that, because honestly, we feed off of other energy and other people. And even listening to this podcast, you're looking for inspiration, you're looking for community. But the most empowering thing you can do for yourself is trust yourself and your path and not use someone else's path to direct where you should go, but just use it as a guide of confirmation that whatever you know is true to you, that you should trust it, period. I think that is so very important in anything that you do. You have to trust your vision, your path.
Absolutely. I definitely would love to participate in a class next time I'm in Atlanta. Some reason I'm up there. I don't know. Find a way to get there for whatever reason, whether it's I'm doing something for training or what have you. But Atlanta is very, very familiar to me. So definitely, I have a 10-year-old little boy, and I dance all the time, and he is so over it, right? he is so over it, over me, just completely, just ridiculous. But no, it sounds like fun. It definitely sounds like fun, and there's a purpose to it. And so I really appreciate what you're doing and what you're doing for the community, and helping to end the stigma of mental health, because I'm a big proponent of that as well. So thank you for all that you're doing and all that you have done. And I wish you nothing but the best and, you know, good luck with everything in the future.
Thank you.
One more time, how can people contact you? How can they find you on your social media?
Absolutely. You can find us on coolmomsdance2.com. That's cool moms with an S, dance, T-O-O.com. Or you can find us at Cool Moms Dance 2 on Instagram and Facebook. We're always there. You can find me on Instagram at Cool Mom Key, Q-U-I, on Instagram. And I really appreciate you having me. This was a really awesome conversation.
I thank you so much, Kiana. This was really great. I really appreciate it. But definitely, if I am in Atlanta, I am going to look you up and see what classes are available, because I would love to participate. I love to dance. Doesn't mean I know how to, but I love to dance.
You don't need to know how to dance, as long as you're open to the process.
Oh, gosh, right. Oh my goodness. I'm going to bring my son so he can be embarrassed by me. So, but no, thank you again. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. Be sure to catch up on previous episodes at benchtalk.net. This is Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Jackie Mitchell CC, and on Twitter, Jackie Mitch, that's Jackie, M-I-T-C-H, C-C. Thank you, guys.